Children can be dismissed to Children's Church. As we consider God's Word this morning, our focus is on the statement in Acts 2 and verse 42, but we'll be looking at other scriptures as well. But as we celebrate 31 years of ministry at Faith Baptist Church, we look back and think about some of the history of the church. On December 11th, 1989, the church was founded. On Sunday, January 7th, 1990, they held their first service at the home of Charles and Juanita Poindexter. On Sunday, April 15th of 1990, the first public service was held, or the first service in the Christian Sand business community, and there were 30 in attendance on that day, by the way. On Sunday, October 7th of 1990, the church was officially organized, and Mike Privett was called as pastor. So we celebrate Anniversary Sunday, the first Sunday in October, because that's when the church was officially organized. Though it was meeting before that time, it wasn't actually constituted a church until that first Sunday in October of 1990. In June of 1997, 7 years later, because of growth in the attendance, a new location was needed, a larger location was needed, and so the church moved into the Toano Middle School. That same year, they also purchased 7 acres here that we're meeting in on. This building was built shortly after that. The matter of fact, on February 15th of 1998, ground was broken for this building. And then July 26th of 98, the first service was held in this building. And in 1999 or 2000, I don't have an exact date on this, but the adjoining 15 acres was purchased, which is this area back behind us, and that made a total of 22 acres that the church then owned, and we still own all of that today. On June the 20th of 2004, ground was broken for the activities building. And then in 2009, the activities building was dedicated. In 2011, Pastor Privett resigned, and Jack Tillman came to serve as interim. And then in 2012, Bob Eshelman was called as pastor. He was here for 4 years and resigned in 2016, and Richard Malloy served as interim. And then I came in 2017. I think it was July of 2018, we were having church in here, and there was a loud pop. And we discovered that week that the roof trusses were coming apart. And so we moved into the gym, and this room was basically gutted, and the trusses were repaired, and everything was put back. And so on March the 15th of 2019, we were back in this building, had our first service after all the work was done. And if you remember, that was the day also that our governor announced that everything was shutting down. So we had one service in here, and then for 2 months, we did not meet in person. And we had been talking about online services prior to that, but that kind of made it happen. So we were moving in that direction, but we moved a whole lot faster and began online services, which we continue to do today. But on May the 17th of 2020, in-person services were resumed. Anyway, those dates are not... The March and the May are right. The 19 and 20 are not. We were only out of here 2 months, so I don't know how we got that messed up. But anyway... You were here on that. You got all that. And then in October of 2020, we called Eric Hall to be our assistant pastor. So I know there's a lot more that happened in the last 31 years. And if you'd like to share something of a memory of the past or a blessing, we'll give you that opportunity after lunch over in the other building. I do want to take a moment. And Pastor Privett sent a message, and I just read it to you this morning. He said, "Sherry and I send our congratulations to you and praise the Lord for what He is still doing through Faith Baptist Church after 31 years to reach Williamsburg and the regions beyond. We love you all. We are honored to still be a part of the FBC family as our sending church, and we look forward to serving with you again next year, Lord willing. They are scheduled to be part of our missions conference next April, and so we'll have an opportunity for them to be with us and give us an update on their ministry, and they'll be here for a few days at that time. But they do send their congratulations and their words of thanksgiving and remembrance to you. Been a lot of changes in 31 years, not only in the facilities, but also in the membership. Some people have come and gone. And many of you have come even since we have been here. But I think we're kind of in a rebuilding mode, if we can think about it that way. And we'll say more about that again in the service this afternoon, or in our remarks this afternoon. We were making some pretty good progress, and then COVID hit, and that kind of slowed things down, and seemed like too we were coming out of that, gaining some momentum again, and then the Delta variant hit, and that kind of slowed things down a little bit as well. But hopefully we're coming out of COVID, and we'll regain some momentum and continue to move forward. And I'll be sharing some goals and plans with you after lunch this afternoon about what we want to do as we move forward. But this morning I want to focus on one aspect of building or rebuilding the church, and that is the matter of building the fellowship of the church. Acts 2:42 says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. The early church was committed to these four things, and we could focus in on any one of them. But as I was thinking about and praying about what to share with you today, this is the direction the Holy Spirit directed, just to think about this idea of the fellowship of the church. It's something that we do enjoy, but something that we can always improve upon. And of course, I'll focus on the fact, or emphasize the fact, that they continued steadfastly, that it was something that was a very important part of that early church. One writer said this, and I don't know if you can, I know the writing is a little small, but he said, unless a church is a brotherhood, a company of men and women whose sympathies and purposes are intertwined, whose lives are interlaced and blended, we may call it a Christian church, but it does not bear in the body of its life the marks of the Lord Jesus. So, to put it simply, no matter what else might be true about the church, if there is no fellowship, there is no church. I mean, that's essentially what he's saying. If our lives are not interconnected in very real ways, we can call ourselves a church, but we're not really a church the way God intended it to be, because the church should be about connections, family, fellowship. Another writer said, as we value the health of our own souls and of the Christian church, we must learn to prize fellowship. And so the early church continued steadfastly in fellowship. What are we talking about when we talk about fellowship? Well, the word means partnership or participation. It comes from a word that means common. You may have heard the statement that the New Testament was written in Koine Greek. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but anyway, Koine just means common. The Bible, the New Testament, was written in the common language that everybody spoke, not the high literary language, but just the common language that everybody spoke. And so it was common. That's the idea of this word fellowship, is common. It is the sharing what we have in common. And so as we think about that, the foundation of our fellowship, let me just say that it is not in temporal things. It is not in the things of this life. It's not our culture or our heritage, because frankly, at Faith Baptist Church, we don't all share the same culture, the same heritage. We're all Americans, but we didn't all grow up in the same place. We didn't have the same experiences. Most of you, I mean, you know, the church is 31 years old, but almost everybody, maybe all of you older folks, you were part of another church somewhere else. It's not like we even have that shared heritage that we've been part of the same church all of our lives. Those things, you know, they're not the basis of it. Sports is not the basis of our fellowship. We may be able to enjoy some. One writer distinguishes between fellowship, between Christian fellowship and socialization. We can talk about sports. We can enjoy that, or hobbies that we may like, and we may have hobbies that interest us, that interest others, and we're not bound by our socioeconomic status, because there's a diversity there in how much money we make, or how much money we have, or how much education we have, or those things. And those things can unite believers. I mean, there are churches where they would look at all of that and they'd have all that in common, because of they've just basically been in the same place and grown up with the same influences, and they have their local sports team that they support. And it just, there are churches that have that connection, and sometimes that's all their connection is. And their conversations revolve around those kinds of things. And the thing that keeps them united is the fact that they share all that in common. But those are not the things upon which a true church is to be built, or the fellowship of a church is not to be built on those things. Matter of fact, those things can even be divisive. Go to Alabama. If you're an Auburn fan, the Auburn people hate Alabama. The Alabama people hate Auburn. I mean, as far as sports go in Alabama, it's divisive. And that's that way in other places as well. But those things can divide us. We don't have the same culture, the same heritage, and so we don't get along, or we don't mesh, or, you know, on any of those things. If we focus on those things and we don't share those things in common, they can actually divide us. But those things shouldn't matter in the church. When we come together as a church, none of that matters. It's all irrelevant. Matter of fact, Paul writes about that, and as he's writing to the Galatian church, he says, As many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, you are all one in Christ. To the Colossian church, he said, you put on the new man, you've been born again. And that new man is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. All those other things, he said, don't matter. Those are irrelevant. What matters is that we share a common connection to Christ, that we have a common bond in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jude, verse 3, Jude says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. As Jude begins his letter, he says, I was just going to write to you about our common salvation. He said, some things caused me to change direction and I needed to admonish you to earnestly contend for the faith. But I was just going to write about the common salvation that we have in Christ. I was going to share some things with you about our common connection to Christ and encourage you in that. As the scripture passage was read this morning in Ephesians chapter 3. Matter of fact, just turn back over there for a moment in Ephesians chapter 3. And the early part of that chapter is where I want to draw our attention. And some things that Paul says there that can be confusing if we don't understand what he's saying, because he talks about the mystery. He mentions in verse 2 about the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you word. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. He's writing to a predominantly Gentile church, and he says, you've heard about how God gave me this stewardship, this responsibility to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And by revelation, he made known unto me the mystery. God gave Paul an understanding. The word mystery there is speaking of truth that was previously hidden, but is now revealed. Truth that it's veiled in the Old Testament. The church is mentioned in the Old Testament, but in terms that are veiled. When the Jews read it, they didn't understand the church, because it was something that God had for the future. But that's the mystery. Matter of fact, he goes on to say in other ages it wasn't known unto the sons of man, but now it is revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Verse 6, here is the mystery, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That's the mystery. That's the thing that he says wasn't known before, that the church is one. That Jews and Gentiles would come together in the church and share the same promises of God, the same salvation, the same interest in Christ. And he says, I was made an apostle to declare to the Gentiles and to the Jews that there is the church and we are one in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the church is a fellowship of different people, people from all different backgrounds and nationalities and walks of life and all the other things. There's a wide variety, and there should be in the church. And as God brings all those people together and they get along and they love each other and they fellowship together and they work together and they glorify and praise God together, God is glorified through that. He says, to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. As the church works, God's wisdom is displayed, and even the angels marvel as they see a demonstration of God's wisdom in the church. And so there's this common bond that we have in Christ, this common connection to Christ, and that's the basis of our fellowship. John would write in 1 John 1 and verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." He said, I'm writing so you can enjoy fellowship with us, and that fellowship is with the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are one. We are a family. We are a body. We're the body of Christ. And so then, how does that then play out, the outworking of that fellowship? And there's a lot of things that we could say here, but let me focus on three thoughts as we think about the fact, all right, we're talking about our connection in Christ. This is the thing that makes the church unique, is that we have all these different people coming together and becoming one because we have this common connection in Christ. So how is that played out? What does that look like? Well, one of the things that we learn in the New Testament is that it means we accept one another. That we receive one another. Him that is weak in the faith, Paul wrote to the Roman church, Romans 14:1, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. He said, you know, we're not all at the same place in our spiritual lives, in our spiritual growth, but we accept one another as we are, where we are, growing in Christ, and we don't argue about and have strong disagreements about things that we don't agree on. There are times when we just have to agree to disagree, or we have to accept the fact that we're all making progress. We're all on this journey in spiritual growth, and we haven't all arrived. We're not all at the same place. And yet we still love one another and appreciate one another and welcome one another, even though we're not all in the same place. We're all moving. We're all on the journey. None of us have arrived. We love one another and support one another where we are. He would write later on, Romans 15:7, receive one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. That we are to accept one another the same way God accepts us. And again, none of us are perfect. But God accepts us, even with our imperfections. And He's working to change that, to bring about spiritual growth in our lives. But none of us will ever be acceptable to God based on our perfection. Okay? Even as a believer, I'm not acceptable to God for where I am in my spiritual growth. I'm acceptable to God because I am in Christ Jesus. And as we look at one another, the thing that should cause us to accept one another is the fact that we are all in Christ Jesus. And that's the important thing. And as long as we are moving forward in our spiritual life, seeking to grow, we can love one another and we can receive one another. And we do that despite our differences. We don't all have the same convictions. It doesn't matter. Unless there are things that are specifically spelled out in the Bible, it doesn't matter. We don't have to agree on everything. As long as we agree on this, we are in Christ Jesus. We can receive one another despite our disagreement. We all have opinions. We can be divided on our opinions. And it's a danger that we face, especially as our society is becoming more divided. And there's a lot of different opinions out there. And it's creeping into the church where we all have opinions and we like to express our opinions because there's a lot of freedom out there to express opinions today. And we like to express our opinions. But when we disagree in our opinions, we can defend our opinions instead of defending the truth of God, and divide the church based on things that really in eternity don't matter. You can have your opinion. That's fine. But we don't have to agree. We can still love one another, accept one another, encourage one another. But there's that acceptance, that welcoming. We don't have to agree on everything to be able to love each other and work together for the cause of Christ. Not only that, but we encourage one another. Romans 14, 19 says, let us follow after things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another, build another up. By the way, in that context, Paul's talking about choices that we make because we don't all agree. But there are times when I may think something is right and okay, but I don't do it because it won't help you. Because if I do that, even though I believe it's right, it's okay, God is okay with that, but you may not be there. And what I have to think about is how do my choices and my decisions not only affect me, but how do they affect you? So that I don't lead you astray. Because, again, I think it was it last Sunday night we were talking about the conscience, and every man has to, you have to live according to your conscience. If you believe something is wrong, it is wrong for you. You may grow someday in the Lord and say, you know what, I used to think that was wrong, but I realized I was wrong, that God actually approves of that, that God has no problem with that. But you have to do what you believe is right. You have to act on your convictions, on your conscience. And the thing that we have to be careful of is, again, we're not all on the same page. So I have to be careful even about exercising my liberty in Christ that I don't lead you astray by the things that I allow in my life because I'm convinced that God's okay with it. So in other words, it's not just about me. Because that's the big thing today. I have liberty in Christ. I can do whatever I want. It's not about me. Matter of fact, Paul, when he talks about liberty, the focus is never on, you know what, I got liberty, I can do whatever I want. It's always, I have liberty, but I curb my liberty for the sake of others. There's always that others focus. It's not about me, it's about how I can be a blessing and a help to the church. He would write to the Thessalonian church, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. Build one another up, even as you also do. He said, you're doing this, but let me encourage you to continue to do this. Let me admonish you to continue to build one another up. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. The fact that we are a church, and as we fellowship together, what ought to be happening is our fellowship is encouraging and helping us to grow spiritually. In Ephesians chapter 4, matter of fact, why don't you just turn over there? That'd be easier for you to follow along than just listen to me. But in Ephesians chapter 4, a passage that's familiar, we're told that the Lord gave to the church apostles, verse 11, apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers so that they could perfect the saints, they could help the saints to mature and to grow spiritually so that they can do the work of the ministry so that the body of Christ is edified or built up. And that building up goes on until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of God unto a perfect man that is a mature believer under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What does spiritual maturity look like? It looks like Christ-likeness. So the goal is to be like Jesus Christ, to be a mature believer. And as the church is growing and as it is discipled, then the church does the work of the ministry and the body of Christ grows. And again, our fellowship is to be helping us to grow up spiritually, to become perfect men, that is, mature believers, that we henceforth, verse 14, be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We're so settled in what we believe that we're not led astray by the latest fads that come along, even religious fads. And so we speak the truth in love to one another so that we grow up in Christ in all things, the one who is the head, that is Christ. And from Christ, the whole body, as it is joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Verse 16 is kind of a complicated verse, but all it's saying is this. As we are all connected to Christ, the head. And as the life of Christ flows into us, and we're also connected with one another, as we make those connections one with another, based on our connection to Christ, the church grows. So let me encourage you along these lines. You can't help the church if you're not personally connected to Christ, if you're not daily walking with Christ, if you're not regularly in the Word of God and regularly in prayer, regularly in fellowship with Christ, if that's not happening in your life when you have these kind of interactions, you've got nothing from Christ to be able to share on this level. What ought to happen as we come together and have fellowship together is because we've been drawing from Christ and we've been growing and our hearts are stirred spiritually and the Word of God is speaking to us. And then as we talk to one another, there is something spiritual going on there and we're growing in Christ through our fellowship together. We are told in Hebrews 3:13, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We encourage one another so that we don't fall into sin. We're to consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This interaction that we have one with another should cause us to want to serve God and avoid sin and grow in Christ. And so at some point our conversations have to move beyond the mundane things of life. Politics and sports and the weather and even family and those kinds of things. At some point our conversations have to move to spiritual matters. Sharing prayer requests. Sharing biblical encouragements. Let me tell you, I was reading this morning in the Bible and here's what, you know, this verse was such a blessing to me. Those kinds of things. Maybe spiritual struggles. Would you pray for me? I'm having a struggle with this and I want victory. But those kinds of things should be happening in our conversations together as a church. But those things have to be in our heart if they're going to be in our conversations, because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's why my connection to Christ is so vital, because if there's going to be spiritual conversation that takes place, it's going to take place because I've been walking with Christ and His love and His truth has filled my heart, and I can't but help talk about the things of God. One writer said, sharing in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Spirit of God gives us more to talk about than the world dreams of. Why then are Christian gatherings so often characterized by conversations about everything except the things of God and Christian living? Let's be honest. Our conversations are often about sports or the weather or politics or those kinds of things that in eternity aren't going to matter. And so seldom about the things of God that do matter. This writer was—he's a pastor—and he was speaking at a conference. And during a break, he noticed a group of men were gathered around in an informal circle, and they were discussing something. And it was obvious that they were all engaged in this conversation. I mean, it's just everybody's just focused. And so he wanted to know what it was that was had grabbed their attention. And so he moved over closer just so he could kind of eavesdrop. And he said as he got close enough to hear, the men were discussing the Bible and theology. He said as he listened further, he heard them talking about family devotions, the value and methods of keeping a journal, the cross, prayer, and how to take notes during a sermon. And he said, you know, they were all different. All these people, these men that were gathered around, they had different backgrounds, they had different kinds of jobs. The things that, again, normally would have divided them, but those things didn't matter. They're standing around talking, and they have one thing in common, Christ, and their walk with Christ. And so he said they were enjoying exhilarating fellowship based on their common fellowship with Jesus Christ. And so there needs to be that encouragement that comes as we share with one another from our heart our walk with Christ. Talking about spiritual things, encouraging one another in the things of the Lord, challenging one another about serving Christ and loving Christ and walking with Christ and knowing Christ. And those kinds of things should be a part of our conversations. And then we support one another. We share joys and sorrows, rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. It's interesting in Acts chapter 4, as the early church, the apostles were commanded not to preach or teach in the name of Jesus. They had been arrested and they tried them and they decided they had to let them go, but they commanded them not to preach any longer in the name of Christ. And it says being let go, where did they go? They went to the church. They went back to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. They went back and shared it with the church. And then the church prayed for God to give them boldness to continue to be a witness for Him. So it means, you know, supporting one another, weeping with those that weep and rejoicing with those that rejoice. It does involve meeting needs, as Paul was taking an offering to help the poor saints in Jerusalem. He challenged the Corinthian church to be involved in the offering. But as he did that, he talked about the Macedonian churches, that they begged us to receive the gift that they were given, the monetary gift, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. In other words, they saw that as part of the fellowship, is giving of their income to help those poor saints in Jerusalem. Among other things, as Paul writes in Romans chapter 12 about the practical Christian living, he says we should be distributing to the necessity of saints. When we see a believer who has a need, that we give to that. And the word distributing there is our word for fellowship, that we share what we have with others. Galatians 5:13, we're told, by love serve one another. We could say it this way, your troubles are my troubles. Your needs are my needs. My resources are at your disposal as needed. I'm at your beck and call. Whatever I can do to be a help to you, let me know. That's the way we support one another. And that should be true of the church. And by the way, as I share all this, I'm not saying to you this morning that none of this ever happens. It does. I know that. At Faith Baptist Church, these things do happen. That's why I focus again on the fact that the early church continued steadfastly in it. This was something that they were doing that they continued to pursue. Matter of fact, our last thought this morning is the pursuit of fellowship. We are commanded to pursue it. We're to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of faith. We're to endeavor to keep the unity, to maintain that oneness that we have in Christ. The early church continued steadfastly in fellowship. There's that example that we have of pursuing fellowship. And so we need to be committed to pursuing this kind of relationship one with another. It means having the right attitude about the church. Don't talk about the church as you. In other words, I hear people say this, well, you know, you guys did this or you guys did that. And as somebody who's a part of the church, but they're acting like, you know, you did it, I'm not a part of that. Now, if you're a part of Faith Baptist Church, we did it. This is us and we, not you and then me over here. No, we're all in this together. Everything that we do as a church, we do together. Whether, you know, even if you're not actively involved in that, like next Saturday, this outreach, you may not be able to be there. You may not be able to give any water towards it. But it's still, it's not what, you know, the handful of people that are actually there working that booth, it is not them and then there's everybody else. No, this is something we're doing together. This is something we are doing as Faith Baptist Church because we are one. Whatever one does, we all do. It's all part of our ministry together. And if you can't do anything else, you can be a part of it by praying for it. But it's something that we do together. All of our missions ministry, as we give to missions, you may be giving a little, you may be giving a lot, you may not be able right now to give anything, but it's what we do together. Whether you're giving to it or not, this is something that we as a church are doing together. It's not you and me, it is us and we. And we need to have that attitude. We are in this together. That's what we are. I mean, that's what Christ has made us, one in Him. So let's act like it. Let's recognize the fact that we are one. Let's be one. And then let's pursue that oneness. They continued steadfastly. They were devoted to it. That's literally what it means to be devoted to something, to pursue something, to be earnest about something. It is something we have to work at. And one of the ways that we have to work at it is a developing relationship with all the members of the church. Not just with those that you share temporal interests. It means that we have to work at it, and some of us more than others, because some people are more outgoing than others and it comes natural to them to just, you know, engage with other people, and others are more reserved, maybe introverted, and so it's not natural for them to reach out and try and meet new people and get to know new people. But the reality is we should all know one another. That means that we have to work at initiating conversation and getting to know people. And let me encourage you, too, taking a genuine interest in one another. Paul wrote, let love be without dissimulation, without hypocrisy. Peter wrote, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, unhypocritical love of the brethren. So love one another with a pure heart fervently. You know, let me challenge those who are introverted. The pursuit of fellowship means, again, that you have to come out of yourself. You're going to have to make take the initiative to go talk to people you don't know, you haven't met, or you know their name, but you don't know them, and you can engage them in conversation. You're going to have to work at it. You've got to make a point of doing that. You don't have to become an extrovert, but you're going to have to work at it. And you're going to have to take the initiative to do that. For those of you that are outgoing and an extrovert, the challenge for you is that everything can be superficial. That the conversations are never deep. Or that, you know, if you're outgoing, sometimes you tend to dominate the conversation. You're not going to get to know anybody else if you're doing all the talking. Sometimes you got to stop and you got to listen to them as they talk to you. And particularly if an extrovert is dealing with an introvert, then, you know, it's really challenging because the extrovert has to really work at not saying anything and working on drawing out of the introvert the things that will help you get to know them. And by the way, God made us all different. God made extroverts and God made introverts. He didn't make any mistakes. Okay? So be who you are. But it doesn't mean that sometimes we don't have to do things that are not comfortable to us or not natural to us. But it is something that, you know, we all have to work at one way or another. But this is what we are. We are one. In the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's be one. And let's get to know each other. Get to know each other better. As we get to know each other, let's encourage one another. And have those spiritual conversations. And be a blessing and a help. In his book, Spiritual Disciplines Within the Church, Donald Whitney suggests several questions to help stimulate spiritual fellowship. So in other words, if you want to have those spiritual conversations, how do we get them started? Well, here's some suggestions. Ask the question, what have you seen God do lately? When you go talk to somebody else in the church, say, you know, hey, what's God been doing lately in your life? Or what are you struggling with spiritually right now? By the way, respect one another's privacy. You can't open up about everything in your life to everybody. Understand that. There's going to be some people that are especially close to you that you can be more open and transparent with than with everybody. So you don't have to be, you know, just completely transparent with everybody. But you ought to be able to be transparent with some people that can encourage you and help you and pray with you. Another question, have you read anything recently that has helped you spiritually? Or what is something the Lord's been teaching you lately? Or how can I pray for you? Just some questions, some things to think about to help stimulate that spiritual conversation. But the challenge is this morning. Will you pray? Pray that God will strengthen the spiritual ties that bind us together. And will you work towards strengthening the fellowship that we have in Christ? Will you do your part? No matter whether you're an extrovert or introvert, but will you do your part to help build relationships within the church so that we are one in Christ, but the reality of that, the working out of that only happens if we actually try to be one in Christ. If we try to live out what we are one in Christ. So let's live that way. Let's have the right attitude about it. It's us. It's not you guys and me. And then let's do our part to build those relationships. Let's stand together for prayer. Our Father, we thank You for the common bond that we have in Christ. And we thank You that it does override everything else in our life. That it is the focus of our relationships one with another as believers. And Lord, may we make it that. May we can enjoy those conversations about other things, but may we not neglect the main thing and the most important thing in our conversations. Lord, teach us how to do that. Teach us how to encourage and strengthen one another and to have spiritual fellowship. And Lord, make it a reality. We don't want to just work this up on our own. Lord, we want this to be something that You do in us. Thank You for what is already being done in this area of fellowship. And Lord, may You just strengthen it and build upon it, and may it grow stronger each and every day, each and every week as we come together. May we truly be one as we are one in Christ. And we ask in His name. Amen.